I'll be quiet.
Tell the fat lady to be
quiet. Hello, Pink Whale Nuts Garage.
Hello, Pinkies. This is the co-host emeritus, the Laughing Buddha, welcoming you to a very live, very lively Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. And rounding the corner is the guy who shoots first, asks questions later, and is our the Faye driver. Hello, Faye.
Hello, that's my my assistant in the back, Elvira, there on the lungs. good evening, Laughing Buddha.
You know, that's never not funny.
It's never not funny.
Oh, dear. Don't get into that. I hate that fucking goat.
You hate every fucking thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, in case you weren't aware, we're joined this evening by Big Fatty.
Hello, lovies.
Hello, Big Fatty.
How are you?
Very well. Now, have you already had a guest this evening, or are you just lining up for one?
I haven't, but I've been approached by someone. So,
all right.
Well, but I said I was not available before 8 p.m. in the evening.
Oh, very good. Well, we'll try to keep our show on time then. We wouldn't want to ruin your schedule.
I'm fucking leaving whether you're done or not.
I know. So nice to hear you again, Big Fatty, but we'll talk in a minute.
Okay, in other words, shut the fuck up? Is that what you're saying?
I'm trying to be suave.
You're the one that put on Twitter, oh, I hope I can keep it from being a train wreck tonight.
I have
a reputation to live up
to. I would love to introduce my next guest, who is, first of all, can I just say hello, Laughing Buddha? So nice to have you here tonight.
It's great to be here on this very ruined episode.
Yes, well, we all have to want to close out the year on a big bang, that's for sure.
That's true.
Is it the end of the fucking year already? Did I miss something?
Oh, it's coming. It's Christmas time now. You know, we're not going to get much done before now at Christmas, I don't think. Anyways, please, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Toppy Smelly from the Finger Lakes. Hello, Toppy.
Hello, Faye.
Hey, Mark. Hi, everybody.
So nice to have you here tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Now, we were speaking to RT Cruiser before we got on the air. He said it was warm where he is. We want to know, what's your weather like?
Oh, it's cold. Very cold. It grappled today.
Grappled?
What?
Yeah. I'm sorry it did. It was definitely not hail. It was not snow. It was not sleet. It was grapple.
What the fuck does that mean?
It's like a mealy thick snow.
I forget the exact definition, but you can Google it. Grapple. It's an actual weather.
No, just fucking tell me what it is. I don't have time for that shit. You know,
it's very similar to hail, only it's not. Just think hail. It's like hail, but it's not. It's different.
Toppy, just tell the man what it is.
Well, it's when rain starts to come down, but then it freezes in a certain way and then melts again and then refreezes over. It happens several times. Anyways,
it's a bunch of shit is what it is.
Sorry, can we say that on this show? I didn't know that.
No, there's no swearing on this show.
No.
Somebody I bet who wish he had grapple today is RT Cruiser. Good day, sir.
Good day. Yes, that would be a lovely change.
Now, you're saying it's hot and you're suffering from fires and things. What's going on there?
Well, we've had bushfires raging through the west of Sydney. They lost about 250 houses.
Oh, no.
And
There's a medicated salve for bushfires. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Now, did you say you had a sister who was affected by these fires?
My auntie. They were evacuated.
Aunt, oh, yeah, right. Are they okay?
Yeah,
have they been endangered?
They're back at home now.
Oh, terrific.
No. They should be right now, although there's still around 100 fires burning out of control at the moment.
Yeah, that's too bad. Tis the season, though. Tis the season.
It is the season. It's an early season.
And way over in Iowa, we have two favorite guests from the Iowas. We have both of the Boos tonight, Eric and Brenda. Good day, Eric.
Good day. How are you?
Very well. How are you tonight?
It was one of those days where I was glad to be with beer in hand, sitting here waiting for your call. Just one fuck up after another. Oh, can we curse on this show? I didn't know. Fuck.
All right. So you're in the best of moods that we can see.
Oh, I'm actually getting better. The Shiner beer is going down smoothly. And
lovely.
I have a lovely producer across the table from me.
Well, let's say hello to Brenda Boo. Good day, darling.
Hello. How are you guys?
We're well.
I didn't hear a lot of response.
Y'all were very quiet. I didn't even know y'all were in the room.
We're expecting more.
Oh.
I'm saving spunk for a comment that I need to talk to Faye about later on in the program.
Right. Would that be the canon situation?
Yes.
Shall we? Do you want to bring it up now? Let's talk about it now.
Okay, so I was part of that little tweet that Big Fatty was talking about. He says...
Right!
Yeah.
Right! Well, I mean, what the fuck was that?
I don't know. We're professionals.
I bet you I could sit here and put myself on mute and not have to say anything for 55 more minutes.
All right, let's try it.
No.
So I said to him, Big Fatty, I said, what am I? You think of me as just a loose cannon? So then he sends me on this little errand of sorts, wanting me to look up pornographic meanings of the word loose cannon.
No.
That was not the assignment. I read the assignment. I saw the assignment. The assignment was to get the history of where the term loose cannon comes from.
You didn't say history, Laughing Buddha, and I'll get you.
Well, that's what I meant.
Oh,
For people in the chat room who are joining us tonight on Pride 48,
this is an evening where we have to try to figure out what the fuck he means rather than what he says he means.
No, come on now. It's simple. I merely asked her to come up, as Laughing Buddha said, where did the term loose cannon come from? And it's in reference to the tweet that I put out. I said, come and join me in the chat room to see if I can control Brenda Boo and Big Fatty, because it's going to be a train wreck, as is evidenced by the first 10 minutes of the show.
And I think you've already proven you can't.
Perhaps the night is young, however.
But no, they said the alternative derivative meaning. That's what you said.
Well, loose cannon comes from a ship term when they had cannons on ships. You're
jumping ahead of
cannon,
the story. I've got all kinds of meanings here.
He just wanted to know the history of it.
I tell you what, this just in, I have the tweet in front of me, and I'm going to read it word for word.
All right.
It says, those are your words, but since you mention it, please research the derivation of the phrase loose cannon for Pink Wheel Nuts tonight.
All right, I stand corrected. I have some alternative meanings.
Please to enlighten us, all of us waiting patiently to hear.
Oh, I snorted. Sorry.
What are you snorting,
please,
Brenda?
Please give the derivation requester what he wants.
I meant it like, you know, in all those good cop, bad cop movies, you know, he's a loose cannon. You can't be controlled, or you never know what he's going to do, right? That's how I meant it. So then I looked it up, and it also can mean that you're a premature ejaculator.
Oh.
It can mean
I thought of that one too, but I wasn't going to bring it up.
Oh, my. The ones
that was was going to be my alternate opening.
Laughing Buddha.
It's not morals, it's just taste.
He just didn't want to bring it up. We don't know what he tastes.
The other one I came up saw was that your fly's open and your junk's hanging out.
Oh.
your
You notice how they all went, ooh, ooh.
I came up with someone who gets, what's it say here?
You read can't my, read your own writing?
My own handwriting. Something about who does coke on a regular basis.
Oh.
And then there was one that said, like, good cop, bad cop. Like, you got the mayor on your ass. And that was kind of in a more kind of pornographic meaning. All right,
Brenda, are you going to be the good cop or the bad cop?
I'm the good cop.
Oh,
okay, I'll be the bad cop.
Oh, okay. I see. All right. Now, Eric, you were talking about the loose cannons on a ship. And there's a comment in the chat room to that effect. Would you like to?
The history of the phrase comes from a ship naval term when wooden vessels floated across the big blue and they had cannons in them. And, of course, you had to make sure the cannons were secure in times of battle because if they were loose, they would you couldn't control them. The recoil would come back, and oftentimes it could very well destroy the ship.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Peter wrote.
Well, that sounds, all of those definitions remind me of Brenda Boo, so.
Oh.
Jack Vader? What? What the hell did you guys do with your vacation?
Where's Mr. Anderson? Mr. Anderson, help. What is
that? My beer tastes really good.
So, yeah, Laughing Buddha, would you please tell us who's joining us tonight in the chat room?
Well, joining us in the chat room, besides all of us here on the show, is Kenner from Connecticut. Ken from Connecticut. We also have Musing Mark, Palm Springs Cub. I have a feeling that might be Jay. We have Scotty, the Little London Battler, and that Peter G., and also Veritable Virgo is in the chat room joining us this evening. Thank you, everyone, for coming along on this rather bumpy ride.
But I thought Jay was back home. Because he was in the Denver airport yesterday or earlier today. I don't fucking remember anything.
Oh, right.
Art is still in Palm Springs, Fat.
Yes.
Maybe,
yes.
Hey? Huh.
Okay.
Well, hello. Clearly, hello, everybody.
Jay, where the fuck are you?
And is it really the Jay? Maybe it's not Jay at all. Maybe we have a new listener to the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage.
That could very well be.
13. Heresy!
I beg your pardon, sir.
How dare you?
So, Big Fatty, yes! You were having your own fun weekend last weekend. You missed all the amazing race talk.
I did, and I really should apologize because I was really looking forward to that, but it couldn't happen.
Sure, sure. Well, we understand. I mean, work comes before pleasure in many cases. Right. No hard feelings.
And sometimes work is pleasure. Pleasure is work.
Mm-hmm.
Even better.
Well, I don't think we're going to talk about too much about Amazing Race tonight. Unless you have something you want. I can't even remember what happened in the most recent episode.
I don't know. Since you haven't fucking posted the show yet for us to listen to.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll get to it. I guess I should do that soon before the show ends.
Probably not.
Oh, well.
All I got to say about the Amazing Race so far this year is, you know, first of all, if you go on the Amazing Race and you can't swim,
yeah,
and you aren't expected to jump off of something high,
and you can't drive a standard vehicle,
and you can't drive a standard vehicle, and you can't read the fucking, then you should not go on that show. Period. That's four simple things.
Right.
I'm just absolutely amazed at how these people do not read.
Yeah, it's funny, eh? There must be a lot of stress. They're just not stopping and thinking.
Would you ever go on that?
I would love to go.
Would you? Who would
I don't
you go?
Know who I don't know. I can't think of anyone I would trust enough to take with
Clearly
me.
Not your husband.
No way. Are you kidding me?
Hell no. Aww. I think you and Brenda should do it.
Yeah, I would pay good Lord. Money to see that.
Yeah.
No. Hell, I would pay good money to see that.
I'd start watching it to see that.
Now, I do have one question for you, Faye. Did you watch The Big Run Canada?
Absolutely, I did, yep.
What did you think of it? Or did you discuss that on the last show?
No, we didn't. No, we talked briefly about it. Okay. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was terrific. And it was very nice to see all these places in Canada that, you know, don't get very much airplay, because Vancouver and Toronto tend to be, you know, the big ticket places in Canada, and we don't hear too much more, except sometimes about the easternmost.
Did you like the Muscle Boys?
I thought they were fun, and yeah, I liked them a lot.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if they were my favorite, but...
Ooh, okay. And what did you think of the host?
Hated that guy.
Okay.
He's got such a key whiny voice, and yeah, he's one of those. The beard, I'm not a fan of beards, and I don't even know, he's not famous in Canada that I'm aware of, so I don't know who the hell he is.
John or something like that? Or
yeah.
I don't know. He was okay. He's no Phil Kogan.
No.
Who says spa. That's the only thing I hate about Phil Kogan. You're going to go to the Travelocity spa. You're going to go to the spa. I mean, the spa.
We should ask RT to say. Spa. RT, can you please pronounce the word S-P-A?
Spa.
Thank you.
Well, anyway, we had a great discussion in the last episode of the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage about The Amazing Race.
I can't wait to hear it during New Year's.
What's happening New Year's?
When you fucking post that show.
Oh. When you finally get around to it. Work with us
what
here.
What are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking, actually, a gin and tonic with orange juice and two limes.
Well, yes, orange juice.
Yeah, like half and half orange juice and tonic with gin. So like one part gin, one part orange, one part tonic. It's quite nice.
You know what I wish I was having right now? A Hell's Kitchen Bloody Mary.
Oh, my God, those were good.
Oh, that's so good.
You two seem to have gotten along on your little trip together to Minnesota.
Yes, we had a lovely time together.
Lovely.
Hey, Big Fatty, I found that recipe for the sausage bread.
Was it in the book?
Yes, it was in the book.
Oh, so there'll be a retraction on your next show then?
Yes, there probably will be.
Okay.
You even got...
Well, don't send me the recipe. Just mail me some fucking sausage bread. Y'all, it's delicious. He should do this for Christmas presents for everyone.
It's delicious.
It really is.
I remember Jay saying that he can't support people sending food through the mail, though.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all right. Well, okay, don't fucking send him any.
Yeah, that's right.
Send it to everybody else, and everybody will rave about it, and he'll go, I didn't get any fucking sausage bread. Well, that's because you bitched about people sending food in the mail.
You're just in fine form tonight, aren't you? Have I done something to offend you?
I'm on my second tank of tonic tonight. Thank you.
Oh, brother. Your God. We're done for.
Okay, well, speaking of drinks, maybe we should go around the room and see who's doing what where.
Lovely.
You go first, Laughing Buddha.
All right. Well, you know, it's been a long, long week, and it's been very stressful at times, but I'm not hitting the hard liquor tonight because if I start, I probably won't be sober until Monday. So I have opened a lovely bottle of red wine. It's called Epicuro, and it's an Italian red from 2011, and it's quite tasty.
Laughing Buddha, why don't you steer the conversation around and see what else other people are drinking? I've already said what I am. We know what Big Fatty's drinking.
Big Fatty's drinking.
And we've heard what Eric is drinking. Brenda Boo, what is it that you're wetting your whistle with this evening?
Guess. Just
Diet Coke.
Not Coke.
Diet Pepsi. Yes.
no Coke Pepsi. Diet Pepsi.
Yep, chip. Cheeseburger.
RT Cruiser, I know it's early. Are you enjoying a bit of morning tea or?
I'm having a sparkling mineral water with Portello cordial in it.
Oh,
With loved what it. In it?
Portello. It's like a grape flavored.
Oh, yeah. That's that mix you people like to put things in. And Toppy, Smelly, what are you imbibing this evening?
Well, it was not just an hour ago. I sauntered over to my wet bar and put a few ice cubes in a glass. And
were you wearing a thong?
Yeah, mostly. And dribbled some Jack Daniels over the... Ooh. No, I'm having just my old cheap vodka and a Diet Cola mix. And not Diet Cola, but a diet, you know, beverage.
All right. Toppy.
Yes, Big Fatty.
At our age, don't talk about dribbling, okay?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Just, hey, how's it been
takes
going?
Takes out
there,
a
Toppy?
whole new meaning. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Toppy, we've been seeing you've been doing some home decorating and stuff. How's everything in the chicken coop these days?
Well, it's fine mostly.
Is your big industrial heater pumping out enough heat for you in this cold weather?
No, it's not. I'm a little paranoid about turning it on. To be honest with you, I don't even know how to turn it on. But I don't know. It looks like the dashboard of an old plane interior when you look at it, and all these controls, and they're from the 1940s. I don't know. I'm going to have the landlord come in and show me how to. But anyways, no,
Toppy, I have a question for you.
Yes?
Do you have your window screens in yet?
No.
Okay, great. Okay, never mind.
I'm going to have to put up plastic, though, because I've been feeling the cold air pour right in through these windows. There's three of them, and they're big. And it's not going to work. Yeah, they're going to have to be. We're going to have to put plastic over that.
Yeah.
But Faye, it's a progress. It's a work in progress. I like to say, Faye.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And not much progress, but I'm working on it.
Okay. Well, listen. Brenda Boo had sent in some time ago a question where she took a picture of a car. I'm going to post that picture into the chat room, so everyone's going to need to go to the chat. But Brenda, do you want to tell us what was your idea behind sending in a picture of this car? Now, just before you answer, for people who might be listening after the live show on your iPod, or
will this be an enhanced podcast?
This will be an enhanced podcast, and you can look at your screen and see which picture we're looking at right now. So, Brenda, what's going on here?
Well, I was coming up to a stoplight, and I noticed this car in front of me, and something, it was turning, actually. It was, so I could kind of see it at the angle, and I was looking at it, and it looked funky to me. And I don't know if everybody would be able to see the picture because I tweeted it, and I have a protected account, so I don't even know if they
can see. It's appearing in the chat room. So
it is? Okay.
People in the chat will see it, and people on after show will see it as well. Okay. I will describe it, though. It appears to be a Honda Accord or some such car driving down the street, and there's something that looks odd about it. Mm-hmm. So who would like to take a stab at what's wrong with
me.
This picture?
Me.
Okay. All right. I'm laughing.
I was first. If you look closely at the right rear tire, you will notice that is the little micro spare rather than a full-size tire. Am I right?
By the way, did you know that earlier this week it was National Donut Day?
Really? I missed that. I'm going to have to celebrate.
That tire reminded me of that.
Mm-hmm. It's Peanut Butter Month, too, I saw.
Really?
Yeah.
Yay.
Why, by the way, why are those little bitty tires called donut tires?
Because they're nothing much more than a big hunk of rubber on a rim.
Well, donuts are better than a hunk of rubber on a rim.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are talking about rimming on the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Good night, everybody. Okay.
But yeah, that's right. It's a donut tire, and I know that these tires are only meant to get you away from a situation where your tire has been blown. It's not meant to become a permanent fixture on your car. So I just thought Faye might find that interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Avis would beg to differ as well.
Really?
Well, I'm just, you know, this isn't going to be a popular thing for me to say here on the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage Show. Yep. But I've driven for quite a while on one of those things. Yep. I really have. I think it was like 3 months I drove with one of those.
And by 3 months, you mean you are currently driving on?
No. This was a couple of years ago.
Okay.
Yes, well, I've just posted a picture of what I drove over 300 miles on, thanks to Avis.
300?
Wow. 300 miles.
That's like 10 times the rated mileage for those things aren't really supposed to go over 35 miles.
Right.
RT and I are thrill seekers and
adrenaline junkies.
Yeah. It's not good for the car either.
No.
Because the rim sizes, the wheel sizes end up being different. That can be hard on your transmission or axle.
I still say that car talk and sex talk are interchangeable.
Hey, big fatty.
I'm serious. If you were on a sex show and you said exactly the same thing, people would go, "Oh, that's hot." Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Plumbers use the same kind of sexual language in all their uses too.
Well, yeah, they got to snake your your pipe. You get that in there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Now you're talking.
Yeah.
Kenner,
it's all in Kenner, context.
Kenner in the chat room, he's looking at the picture. He's he says the license plate on the car is also expired.
Oh.
An RT's car or the one that Faye put up?
Well, I think it's probably the one Faye put up.
Probably both.
Yeah.
Well, who the fuck is Kenner? Kenner, who the fuck are you?
Kenner is Ken from Connecticut, and Big Fatty, you have to be nice to him because
I don't know who the fuck he is doesn't mean I'm not nice.
He's a first-time live listener on Pride 48 to the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage.
Okay, hi.
Did we figure out who Palm Springs Cub is?
It's Jay.
Oh, Jay.
Why is he back in Palm Springs?
Oh, Jay.
He's not. He's home. He's just living.
Oh, he's just living. He's living the memory.
It's funny how the elderly have to be reminded.
Peter G., don't tell me to fucking be nice to strangers. There are no strangers in my life. There are strange people in my life, but there are no strangers. It's a very big difference there.
Excuse me, Kenner has attempted to provide some sort of credibility for himself by saying he listens to Big Fatty all the time.
Well, that's all that matters. Kenner, I expect a voice letter before the weekend is over. Okay.
Okay.
Now, wait a minute, Faye. I've got a statement for you.
A statement. Okay. Let me get my stenographer ready here. Go ahead. Oh Jesus.
I'm leaving the coal mine this afternoon.
Why did I ever say that to have you on this show?
Shut the fuck up, all right? You knew what you were getting yourself into, okay? I'm leaving the coal mine this afternoon, and there's this car. I can barely see around to see what traffic is coming, and there's this car that the front driver tire, it looks like the tire is at about a 33 1/3 degree angle.
Oh.
Okay. And I'm like, that can't be good. I mean, what would cause something like that? I mean, would it be like a lug nut broke or?
No, it'd have to be some serious problem with the axle or the suspension on the car.
Okay. But
so
I mean.
Front tire?
Yes.
And was he able to steer?
Well, I don't know, because it was parked and there was not a driver in the car. Obviously, it was parked, because I can't imagine driving that and having it boom, 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 you know.
Right. So it must have been in an accident.
No, it didn't look like it was in an accident. It looked like he was driving down the road, and all of a sudden this happened. And I just thought, well, what would fucking cause that to happen? I mean, would a lug nut break off, or would the axle break, or what?
It would be, more than likely, it would be a ball joint that probably went. It's a fairly common problem. The ball joint holds the tire assembly onto the frame of the car, essentially. And these things wear out because they experience a lot of wear and tear. There's a lot of vibration, and they have little bushings in them, and so they get old and loose, and in severe cases, they can actually just break. And then it's as though you're losing, you know, your tire assembly is attached by about 3 or 4 points to the frame. And if a ball joint breaks, then one or more of those attachment points is no longer functioning, and then the tire will just hang there like a limp dick, so to speak.
And now, is this where you tell them how to subscribe to the Rosetta Stone to understand what the fuck you just said?
I know what he said.
Okay, I don't. But Toppy and I are both going, what the fuck is he talking about?
Palm Springs Club is the picture that's in the chat.
Oh, my God, Calvin is here. Do y'all know Calvin?
The car.
Calvin?
Calvin. I know R.T. Cruiser knows Calvin. Oh, R.T. Cruiser, you tell everybody who Calvin is.
Calvin's from Hello Waffles podcast.
But don't ask him to spell it, for God's sakes.
Don't ask me to spell anything.
Right, he has trouble spelling Hello Waffles on Twitter.
Yes, he does. Hi, Calvin. Thanks for the great email you sent me, by the way. I will be responding.
Calvin is a sweetheart, isn't he, R.T.?
He is a sweetheart, yes.
Okay.
We saw his picture today on Twitter, and he had a lovely little pink bow in his hair.
No, that was the Hello Kitty behind him.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Yeah, the picture was actually about his mustache.
I know. I was making a joke. Oh, dear.
Oh. Sorry. Sorry, have another drink, Faye.
Can I please ask?
For the love of God, do you want to take over your own show again? Is that what you're saying?
You know, my mouse is hovering over the delete
button. And when that happens, you'll hear.
I just quickly, Jay, is that the car you had in Palm Springs? Phew, I did it. Oh, there's a picture of a very nice looking Camaro convertible in the chat room, which you'll see on your screen if you're listening after.
It looks like a two-seater.
It does look like it. It's got very tiny rear seats in it.
You know what I call that car?
Jay confirms that was the car he was driving in Palm Springs. What do you call that?
This would not apply to Jay, of course. That would be the tiny penis car.
Sometimes
tell us what that means, Faye.
That means sometimes people like to drive cars that they like, that have no correlation to the size of their manhood. Let's discuss this. All right,
okay,
you brought it up.
Let's go ahead and bring it up.
All right, Eric, I'm going to you first here. What do you think of penis size versus car choice? Is it a thing?
I'd like to say no, but I've seen too many assholes and nice cars, so my heart wants me to believe yes. Does that make sense?
Thank you, Eric.
You know, you see these guys and you know they're assholes and they got these really nice cars and you're like, God, I just hope he has a small dick. You know.
RT Cruiser?
Well, driving a Chrysler New Yorker and having almost a ninny, I think it's probably right.
No.
Oh. Mark Musing
what do you say?
I say Mark Musing in the chat room says he drives a compact car. What does that say about him?
That means it's down to his fucking knees. And Faye, you drive the big old automobile, okay? Okay. You drive around and go, oh, my God, there's the biggest bottom in, where do you live?
Vancouver.
Vancouver. You won't deny that.
I'm not so sure about that. No, just a minute.
Wait a minute. Now, when you came to Pride 48, you were going to leave your door open with a sign, welcome anyone.
Oh, I remember that.
Right. See, I'm not making this shit up.
That doesn't mean I'm a bottom.
Oh, yes. Right. It means
I'm open for business.
All right, let's take a vote. How many in the chat room think that the Faye driver is a top?
Now, before we go any further, remember, he has three vehicles. He has a luxury, the spy car. He has his hot rod, and he's got the Dodge Ram. So
okay, he's got the little green truck that could, which means he's a lesbian. Okay,
there's nothing wrong with having three cars.
No, not at all.
Musing Mark says that you're a bossy bottom.
Yeah, that's never.
Okay. What do you think, Toppy? What would Aunt Tappy say about all this?
Oh, she'd be dismayed. But she'd probably agree. You know, if you're driving a car, you know, like maybe that, and maybe what like Jay was driving, it's, you know, you've probably got a swinging dick and you want to show it off to the world. And, you know.
As Peter G says, the Faye driver lifts his legs to Jesus.
Brenda Boo, what do you make of all of this?
I think sometimes...
And Aunt Tappy's a top. Right, okay. I'm sorry.
I think people with money have nice cars. I think sometimes people try to compensate for even like maybe a lack of hair. I've seen a lot of bald men in really nice looking cars. I don't think it's correlated to their dick size. They may be trying to prove something. But then I saw a really nice looking older lady in this really cool convertible. And I mean, I think
there are exceptions. I agree.
I think people with money have nice stuff. I think that's more what it's about.
Yeah. Good point.
All right, so you're rich. You're rich, Faye.
He is rich. I've seen his cast.
I drive my cars because they instill a sense of joy in me. I drive them because I think they're just wonderful pieces of machinery. And I will admit,
you have sexual... or you have sexual events in your cars, whether you're touching yourself or not.
The doctor is recommending that the projection of the sexual behavior.
Oh, feel that curve!
Big fatty drove the Porsche, and I can see why there might be some sexual arousal in Faye's reach. That's a nice car, and that has a lot of power behind it. So right. I cannot fault him. That was fun, and I only drove it for like 15 minutes. It was a ball.
But he drives it because it's a sexual experience.
Yeah.
No. And by the way, not necessarily folks, sexual.
I didn't see that. He loved it. He giggles like a little boy.
It's just fun.
Yeah.
Toppy, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you think we're kidding around here, tune in to the Pink Wheel Nuts sometime. Find one of those episodes where he's driving. And Faye, that's not an act. That's Faye really driving.
You know what I would like to do is to download one of Faye's shows where he's really getting into his driving and put a porn music track underneath it and re-release it on the Scooter
he
Diaries.
Likes, now, Scooter Diaries, I mean, Mark, yes. He likes to do those on Christmas Day.
Go
back. Yes, right. Go back to the Christmas Day things because he likes to get out on the roads on Christmas Day because there's nobody on the roads then.
I commend you, Big Fatty. You are a dedicated listener. Aren't you clever?
All right, I'm writing this down now.
I'm correct, aren't I?
Absolutely. Yep. One of my favorite days of the year is Christmas Day run.
All right. But Faye, I don't think it sounds uber sexual. To me, it sounds like a total absence of being self-conscious and absolute joy. That's what I hear in your voice.
I hear but you put porn music. You put porn music behind it, and it sounds entirely different. You have a question in the chat room, Faye.
Whether Mr. Anderson asks me to slow down? That question?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I never drive very... I try not to drive assertively.
Tell us how you do drive with Mr. Anderson, because I expect it to be very different.
Oh, it's extremely different.
Faye, I have a question about that. Do you offer Mr. Anderson a blindfold before he gets into the car after he's put his little booties on?
No, but I have had occasions where I've forced him to hide his face behind a pillow in order for us to be able to make the ferry on time occasionally.
Does Mr. Anderson ever drive you?
Only when I've been drinking.
Okay.
It's the most difficult times of my whole life.
Well, thank God you've been drinking. Speaking of drinking, I got to see Dante.
All right. Now, we have several questions that we should try to get to. I know that Peter G. sent a question in last week about test driving cars. And Peter G. asks, what should we look for when we're test driving a car? Now, he was, I think, specific to purchasing a new car, what kind of things we should look for. But I think we could also probably address test driving a used car as well. So would anyone like to tackle this? I have to go deal with my dog, who's having a little issue. So Big Fatty can, Laughing Buddha, can
How
you...
How dare you? I had an answer, too.
I thought you were gone. Laughing Buddha, would you direct the conversation, and I'll be back shortly.
Certainly, absolutely. Big Fatty, why don't you start us off? You've purchased, you know, several vehicles in your life experience, and one not too long ago. So tell us, as a seasoned purchaser, what is it that you look for when test driving a car?
I will tell you, I look for a certain level of bells and whistles, and I'm 5'6", so I'm not a tall person, so I have to be, I don't know how to say this, but I have to feel in control of the car rather than a part of the car, if that makes sense.
Sure, that makes sense. Now,
I have to be able to see out of the car, and it's got a, you know, a car that doesn't have a seat that gets me into a position where I feel like I'm in control. I'm not gonna immediately eliminate it. By the way, I've had a couple
say
of
that, drinks. Say that 3 times fast.
And but, also, Faye, when you play this back, please put in 70s porn music. Thank you.
Yeah, please do. Yes, that'd be great. I have to think it's pretty. Okay? If it's an ugly car, I'm not going to buy an ugly car.
Right. It should speak to you in some way.
Right. And I'll get out and I'll drive it around. And I'm old. I'm 57 years old, and I trust my instincts. And if I have a good feeling when I get into a car, or when I walk up to a car and I don't have a good feeling, I tend to trust that. I think most car purchases are based on human instinct.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Thank you. And now that I'm finished, Faye Driver is saying.
No, I didn't want to interrupt Laughing Buddha. He's in charge. Go ahead, Laughing Buddha.
Let's see. RT.
RT. Okay. Yep.
You have a tendency to gravitate more towards vintage cars. But you've bought new. So tell us the difference of what you're looking for between new and vintage. Is it a different set? Tell us that process.
Yeah. So older cars, it's all about the condition. You want the best conditioned car, so you don't want to have to replace worn out seats. You want newish tires. You don't want any rust. You want a good paint job, unless you're after something to actually work on and do up. So that's for a used car. Mechanical, an old car, most of them you can get parts for and fix. So when I bought the New Yorker, I wasn't worried about anything mechanical, but it had to have all the trim and everything else in place because I can't replace those. But for me, for new cars, I always insist on driving the exact model I'm going to buy. Because if you're looking at a mid-range manual and the demonstrator is the top-of-the-line automatic, they are completely different cars.
Right.
So if you're going to buy a manual, insist on driving a manual. And they will probably have to put – I don't know how they do it over your way, but we have trade plates here where they can just strap a set of trade plates on a car and you can actually take it out for a test drive.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
Yeah. And I think that's the most important thing is to look at the actual model and specification that you want to buy, because you'll be sort of – if you look at the top of the range and drive the top of the range, you'll probably be disappointed when you actually pick up your, you know, bottom feeder car with a manual and vinyl everywhere.
Well, it's the old you get what you pay for.
Mm.
Eric.
You know, I could go on some grandiose thing about what I look for in a car, but if you ask my producer, I've had piss poor luck most of the time. A lot of times it's just I go in, like the truck, I was very fortunate. When I took it for a test drive, I was very impressed about how the engine sounded like it had very few miles on it. It just felt tight. And for a car that was a 1999 pickup, it looked like it just rolled off the showroom floor. It still does. With Brenda's car, the Civic, our intent at first was a Subaru. I had saw a Subaru Outback, and but it was the interior was way small because we're both fat. So the Civic though.
Jesus.
Beautifully Rubenesque.
Yeah, whatever. We sat in that seat and oh my freaking God, you know, and so we went to take the Honda for a test drive, and we're very fortunate that our neighbor across the street and dear friend is a mechanic. So I said, Abby, could you come out and give this car once over, and she did, and gave the thumbs up, and that's how we got those two cars.
But you also, from what I heard, you trust your personal feeling about a car, though.
Well, there's a certain amount of personal feeling, but while I was able to be lucky enough to trust that on these two, Brenda will tell you time and again, I have failed miserably. I mean, there was a Ford F-100 pickup that had a leaky gas tank. There was the Jeep Cherokee, which was a car from hell. There was a Dodge Neon with a cracked head.
Yes.
There was just one after another. It was just poor judgment. Yeah. So I can't take, you know, okay. Oh, wonderful skills. Yeah, no.
I have we're going to ask Faye what his advice is, and then I have a follow-up question for everyone about dealing with the salesman or woman during the process. That's the only thing that I question. I balk at that. I've never had to buy a new vehicle, so I'm interested in everyone else's experience. So let's kick this over to Faye. Tell us what you're looking at when you're test driving a vehicle.
Well, I think if you're buying a brand new car, or a fairly new car within a 2 or 3 years old, that you needn't concern yourself too much with the mechanical functionality of the car, because very likely a brand new or newer car is going to function properly. So if you're in that market, then you should just get, as Big Fatty indicated, get a car that speaks to you in some way, that you're attracted to, that you feel good in, and that suits whatever purpose you might have for that vehicle.
It makes the car payments easier to make when you're happy in it.
Oh, that's true too.
You know?
If you're searching for a used car, then I highly recommend that you should take somebody along with you who has some experience, some mechanical experience or knowledge of cars, so that you can check with that person and maybe have some confidence that mechanically the vehicle that you're getting is going to be good or is of sound, you know, body and function. That's the most difficult thing, is if you're buying a used car, is knowing what to look for to ensure that that car is going to last a long time. And, you know, there's a laundry list of things that could be wrong with a car, and that's why you should take somebody who's got some knowledge, I think.
But I think that somebody like RT Cruiser looks also for a challenge or a project that right. they can turn something from, you know, seeing its near end of life to bringing it back to life. And that's the kind of way that's the way I see RT Cruiser.
Yeah, I've got friends that do that. I'm too lazy and don't have enough time or money. But I do have a car stashed away for that purpose. Basically, it's the ultimate model kit because I bought it just as a bare shell.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, eventually I will get that going or sell it, hopefully for a profit. but again, you
I
know,
think there are a lot of people that do that, though. Don't you agree?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I've got friends that buy wrecks, do them up, and they will never make money on them because they just put too much money into it. But they end up with exactly the car they want.
Right. They do it for love, the love and the challenge.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Yeah, there's always a certain amount of risk when you're buying a used car or a specialty car like RT Cruiser, who's buying these vintage land cruisers or land yachts.
Yeah, lots. Where
you're, you know,
buying
you're,
them on the other side of the world.
Right. And so, you know, there's the challenge and there's the fun of, you know, playing and with that car, keeping it running.
And that is the chase, like, finding a 35-year-old car that's in good condition and what you want is a lot harder than finding a new car that's what you want.
Right. So, Laughing Buddha, what of the other half of your question?
Okay, the other half is dealing with the sales weasel. I mean, salesperson. Do you enjoy doing that? Have you found things that work better for you? Big Fatty, why don't you tell us about your experience with dealing with salespeople?
Well, I will. I'll be happy to. And I know we're running out of time here. We're up against the clock, as they say.
Well, we know you have a gentleman caller in a few minutes, so
I'll be hanging up whenever the fat lady sings.
Oh, brother!
I'll be leaving you. But anyway,
I wish I was recording you on a separate track.
It's how dare you? Just put porn music behind me.
Please carry on. You're saying.
I think I think in my lifetime, dealing with a car salesman has come 180 degrees. Because it's gone from something that I really didn't like to something that I feel that I'm the boss rather than they're the boss. Because nowadays, you can go in with your phone in hand and know as much, if not more, than they do. And they know they can't really play as many games with you as they have, or the games they do. Tricks. Oh, I was going to say they still have a few tricks, but it's nothing like it used to be. As long as I can walk away feeling like I got a good deal, that's really all that matters.
Faye Driver, what do you have to say about dealing with salespeople?
Well, I think you need to go in with a number in mind. You have to remain emotionally disconnected from that purchase. That's the key to getting what you want. The minute that the salesman sees that you're in love with that car or you have to have it, then you lose all of your bargaining power. And I think you should have a figure in your head. This is the number that I'm willing to spend. And you should go into the negotiation. And I have no compunction about lowballing, like offering ridiculous prices as an opening offer. Like when you buy a house, you never buy full price when you pay for a house, right? You always make some sort of an offer, typically. And I think you need to do the same when you're buying a car, and then let them work you up to the number you've already had in your head. Brenda?
Well, I always think that these negotiations are very emotionally charged on both sides, because the salesman is working on commission and you are buying something that most people is going to be the second biggest purchase that you ever do. You know, you buy your house and then you buy this car that's this huge investment that you take out on the streets every day, and is you're constantly just, you know, begging somebody to hit it by the sheer use of it. So you're both coming in with all this crap on your shoulders. And I have no poker face, so no. I don't know what.
No, I'm agreeing with you. Answer. I'm saying you don't. I'm agreeing.
So I would go in there, and if they said, "Oh, that's the best I can do," I'd be like, "Okay, here, let me get my checkbook."
I get less aggravated by the salesperson than when they put you in the room with the finance person, because they're the ones that start throwing things like undercoating and all this other crap that you. You know.
Do you remember that scene in Fargo? There's a great scene about undercoating and car sales. If you haven't seen the film Fargo, do yourself a favor and watch it. It's all about car sales and that sort of thing. It's a fun film.
See, Eric, I have no problem with that because I say, I don't want that. Take it off.
No, I just find it frustrating. You know, you've already gone through one negotiation with the salesperson, and they throw you in another room with another guy. You got to start basically.
Right, that's where it's gone nowadays is with the finance person. But I always go and I do my financing homework before I ever go see a car and find out what my best rate is with my credit union.
Mm-hmm.
So I already know where I can get a great rate or a pretty damn good rate. And if they don't meet that, then I don't deal with them. I just say, you know, oh, well, we've got etched glass on here. Well, take it off. I don't want it. I'm not paying for that. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, and all of a sudden there's no charge for that.
Right.
It'll cost them more to take that shit off.
Toppy, you've told us stories on the Smellcast about your recent acquisition on the car that you're currently driving. Yeah. Do you have any thoughts or reflections on that process?
No, not really. No, every time I've got to get a new vehicle, it's always the worst time in my life. It's always when things are the most horrible. It's always when I have no money. This is the way it always is. And somehow I crawl through and I find some pathetic solution, you know, which is why I'm driving a 93 Honda Civic right now. It's a pathetic solution, but it's the only one I could come up with. And thank God my lovely little 93 Honda Civic is still charging along. But someday down the road, I suppose it'll conk out on me and I'll have to part with it. And, you know, then I know it'll be another nightmare. How am I going to fucking afford to fucking get a fucking new fucking old car? And it's always a nightmare. I hate it. I hate car. Oh, I'm sorry, Faye. But I hate. If you really want to know the truth, I'd like to live without cars. And you know what? For most of my years, I lived without a car. In Rochester, I didn't need a car. I loved that. I loved getting on the bus and going where I needed to go. And cars are a pain in the fucking ass when you don't have money. And you've got to scrounge up and somehow just get some stupid piece of crap on four wheels that moves. It's a nightmare. I hate it. I wish to hell I didn't have to have a car, and that's the truth. But somehow, when this car conks out, I'll have to somehow find another piece of crap to drive.
Oh, so. Toppy, you come see me when you need it. My 97 Buick, it'll be brand new.
No, it's always a nightmare.
Drove it on Sundays.
Always
to the cake shop. No, I'm with Big Fatty. I love dealing with Cam.
No.
Starts people. But no, it's you've got to have your research done and you've got to know exactly what you want before you go there. So I'll go to the car yards with brochures from other dealers of the car's direct competitor. So they know you're serious.
Mm-hmm. Can I say, Poppy, I find car ownership overwhelming at times too, but I love having the freedom of a car. I do not want to be dependent on public transportation or anybody else to cart me around. There is some kind of, you know, you're not, I don't want to not have a car ever.
No, I agree. I used to be the guy that had to take his laundry to the laundromat without a car, and I used to haul it on my back on my fucking bike. And it wasn't pleasant. And going to the grocery store to get your groceries, I put two baskets on my stupid bicycle. And, not pleasant. It really isn't. And, you know, my little car and I, we love each other. And it gets me where I want to go. And I'm very grateful for it. I'm also terrified of the day that I lose it. And I have to, I have to come up with something else.
Right.
But, you know, truthfully, a car is, a wonderful thing to have. I just wish it wasn't so traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
Laughing Buddha, did you get your questions answered?
I did, and I think everyone has contributed to the follow-up question, and noticing the time, we are about 6 minutes past our hour, so perhaps we should bring this to a close.
I guess we should. We never got to ask. Toppy Smelly wanted to ask a question about engines, but I realize that some people may need to leave. Big Fatty, did you need to check out?
No, I'm okay right now.
Laughing Buddha, do you want to head off for the evening?
No, if you'd like to take Toppy's question, I am willing to stand by.
All right, we'll just do that one more thing and then we'll carry on the evening. So Toppy, you brought up to me in an email a question that you had about the world's most efficient engine. Do you want to talk to us about that?
Yeah, I'd love to, because I'm really, really curious what you have to say about it. But Well, it's almost like an urban legend. I've heard tales about, oh my God, this is like Conspiracy City, folks, so here we go. But I've heard tales from so many people who, you know, when I was in college at the engineering school, we made this engine and this car that, you know, performed miraculously and got 500 million, miles to the gallon, and it was wonderful. And then it was suppressed by the big, you know, government and the car manufacturers, and the students that created it were like, oh, what happened? You know, and nobody ever knows what happened to these great inventions. Even my father has a tale to tell when he went to Rochester Institute of Technology, and he was an engineering student. He says, we made this car that got 500 million miles to the gallon. And I've heard this a lot, really. And my question is there some conspiracy involved in car manufacturing in that really they don't want you to have a piece of machine that's going to last you 50 years? They want it to last, you know, 3 years or 5 years. And so the oil industry, you know, they're not really interested in efficiency and or any of that stuff. And I don't know. Do you think there is stuff that's suppressed and there's a conspiracy shadow government somehow involved in any of this? It's a serious question. Yep. Because I've heard this. I've heard people say they've, you know, about technology and we really should be. Let me just take one small example. My muffler that disintegrates every 2 years. Are you fucking telling me we can't create a muffler that lasts longer than 2 years? Come on. Anyways, Faye, what do you say?
Well, I'd like to speak to the muffler issue, but let's talk about the super efficient engine first. Let's throw it to Australia. RT Cruiser, do you have any super efficient engine conspiracy theories in your country?
No, we did have a company over here that invented a new engine, which was an orbital engine. Worked a little bit like a rotary. And it was, you know, going to be the next big thing, and all these people invested money in it. But they just couldn't get it to work properly. It did have flow-on effects. They invented new fuel injection that worked really well on two-cylinder engines that they use in pumps and over in some of the smaller European cars. But fuel only has so much energy in it. Right. And, you know, I'm sure they could make a car that's got half of the, uses half the fuel it does today, but no one would drive it because it would have rock hard tires that probably wouldn't make it stop if you had to stop in a hurry. You'd have no airbags, you'd have no air conditioner, you'd have no stereo.
Wait. I don't get why you say we wouldn't have all those things.
Well, because everything, all the modern safety features in cars add weight, which uses more fuel.
Oh.
So if you look at a car from, say, 30 years ago, my big Valiant, my big Australian car, weighs about 1,600 kilos, and that's about the weight of my 2-litre Kia. And it's got none of the equipment that the new car's got.
That's about 3,500 pounds for the Americans, which is the standard rate of a medium sized sedan. I think the issue being, Toppy, you can make a super efficient engine that is easily done. However, a super efficient engine that doesn't burn very much fuel is not going to have very much power output. So, although it could be done, we could be driving around with cars that had super efficient engines, but they would be slow and gutless, and nobody would want to drive them because we need X amount of power in a car in order to make it go. So, it's that whole trade-off. You need you can have super efficiency, but you're not going to be able to do very much with it.
Okay.
Eric and Brenda, any comments on this?
I think that it's a possibility that there's a conspiracy to keep it, keep this, if there is such an invention out there. I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, because I feel like the world is being run by a very small amount of people, and they're all just kind of scratching each other's backs. So I wouldn't be that surprised if something out there.
Laughing Buddha?
You know, I think conspiracy is really a strong word. I think it really comes down to, you know, the way our market is based. We have a consumer-based market, and until that sort of planned obsolescence mentality goes by the wayside, we won't have that super efficiency. But I think in the long run, we're going to have to get there somehow, because fossil fuels are a finite resource. There is going to become a time where, you know, we just won't have the petroleum-based products in order to have gas and that sort of thing. But when that's going to happen, I don't know. It depends on who you talk to. Some people think that we're past the what's quote-unquote peak oil phase. You know, until that attitude of planned obsolescence fails, I think we're just going to continue on the way we are.
But can I make this argument to you? It's kind of weird. So I saw this special on TV a long time ago, and they showed how they could take used tires and process it in such a way that it would become this super efficient road pavement, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was more expensive process, and essentially the people who own the concrete companies want nothing to do with it because that would take away their business, because it's a longer lasting product and they would become obsolete. So don't you think throughout history that it's always been the path of least resistance and the cheapest thing that has continued until there was absolutely no other option to do it?
You know, I think that's a valid point. I really do. But you see other companies like the Tesla car company, who are really embracing that technology that may not be very cost effective, but they're making advances in the field. And I think it's kind of a you know, two steps forward, one step back kind of a thing. And but it is a valid point. I mean, until, you know, profit and the bottom line is less important than the survival of the human race, you know, I think you're going to see that.
Industrial hemp.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Can I just mention another conspiracy theory that's going on right now as we speak?
Yes.
We're all using Skype to speak on this conversation. And I have to tell you that the ads that have been popping up in my Skype have all been vehicle related. And just now, while we're talking, there's an ad that just popped up for the Prius electric car. What is Skype doing listening to our conversations?
Wow.
You'd like to hear
all from Obama here pretty quick, Faye.
I'd like to hear from Big Fatty if Big Fatty has any thoughts on the super efficient engine and the conspiracy theory.
I think there's planned obsolescence.
Yes. And shame on them for doing that, don't you think, Big Fatty?
And, well, yes. And I think that if there wasn't forced, like, well, for instance, forced fuel efficiency, if the government wasn't saying you have to have X amount of fuel efficiency by such and such a date, we'd still be getting 4 miles to the gallon.
But at the same time, it's the consumers that are driving the trend. This whole idea of fuel efficiency goes all the way back to the gas gas wars and the gas shortages of the 1970s. When Honda and Toyota first came on the scene, they were thought of these little toy Japanese cars, and no one gave them credence, but they overtook the market because of huge fuel efficiencies. When the cost of gas went down again, Americans, you know, started buying SUVs and started buying gas guzzlers again. It's all market driven, you know, in so long as, you know, the busy moms want to buy the Cadillac Escalade with the dual tanks that gets 12 miles to the gallon so that they can take the, get the kids to school. You know, it's a mindset, you know, and again, I am a conspiracy theorist and I bring it up again. It doesn't help that we have a huge lobbying effort by the big three, by the gasoline industry, the petroleum industry, that puts down for years technology that would have made advancements so much sooner. The Chevy Volt, another case example. There was a Chevy had developed an electric car that was quite efficient. It was ahead of its time, and all of a sudden they took it off the market. It disappeared. And they did a movie about it, and it's kind of like industrial hemp with Hearst saying, you know, he knew that the industrial hemp paper was going to be cheaper than regular tree paper. Jeez. So he went on this huge campaign about the evils of marijuana and got them to pass all these laws, banning the production of industrial hemp.
But I think we have to remember that all these businesses aren't doing this out of the goodness of their heart. It's money. It's all, you know, right. Their charity. This is all profit driven. And the fact that we've become such an organized, civilized society and we look to the government to provide us with these rules and stuff, I think we try to pretend like that's how these businesses conduct themselves. And it's just not true.
And mechanical engineers and automotive engineers and fuel engineers and scientists have all said, if you really want to have the best fuel economy, buy a four-cylinder car.
Yeah, and I'm going to probably upset some people here, but from an outsider looking in, you Americans seem to have some sort of sense of entitlement about cheap petrol, cheap gas.
Absolutely.
Because when the first Gulf War happened, our petrol was probably 40-something cents a litre, and it went up to like 80-something cents a litre. It doubled in price. And people coped with that. You know, there was a lot of bitching and carrying on. But when the next war happened and petrol doubled again, Australians abandoned their big six-cylinder cars, which was the norm, and the normal car now is a four-litre, two-litre. So we just said, well, we'll just buy smaller cars. And, you know, if in America you want to get force people to buy more efficient cars, don't make the car makers make efficient cars that they're not going to buy. Put the price of petrol up. That'll make people get smaller cars.
The Secretary of Energy had huge controversy when he said the quickest way to do it was just that. We need to find a way to raise the price double.
It's like your 55 mile an hour speed limits. They weren't anything to do with safety. They were to conserve fuel in the first oil crisis. Because that was the most efficient speed to drive at the time.
And they managed to get it across the country because they told states, if you don't implement it, we're not going to pay for your roads.
Yep.
All right. Well, what a great discussion.
Well, please, before we leave this, please tell me.
The muffler?
Why in God's name can't we make a muffler that doesn't disintegrate in the salt?
I'll tell you why.
Because it's made of...
Here's the sad story, Toppy. You're buying cheap mufflers. you have to... I'm serious. You have to invest a little bit more money in your muffler and get a properly galvanized stainless steel, or someone says aluminum in that Peter G in the chat room. You need a better quality muffler, because the reason that they're wearing out so quickly is that you're buying cheap mufflers made in Japan with cheap quality metal. They get moist, they get salt on them, and they immediately disintegrate. So
well, not that, Faye, but oftentimes when it comes to repair, it's not necessarily the muffler that goes bad. It's the tailpipe on either side.
Yes, yes, yes.
What's right. that? Just after the catalytic converter, before it goes into the muffler, that little stretch of pipe will rust before the muffler goes. The only reason why you have to replace it is because you're driving down the road and all of a sudden the muffler goes twang.
Yeah, or else it's shitty, you know, a shitty mechanic and welding it in poorly, or not getting it, not spending a bit more effort on it. That's it. All boils down to the same thing.
Taking your
don't you caps. Think sometimes part of our problem with dealing with our cars, it's kind of like our bodies. It's like everything is underneath something. We don't see it. So like in our mind, it's running perfectly. We're not really taking into account all the abuse we put into our liver every day. And all of a sudden, my liver doesn't work anymore. You know what I mean? It's like, that's what I always think. It's like, oh, everything's perfect in my car.
Nothing, you want to inspect my undercarriage then?
Oh, dear God. Straight
all right, people talking. You notice how quiet I am during this part?
I think because you've fallen asleep, actually.
No, I haven't.
Well, listen, let's give you everybody an opportunity to say, shout out their shows. Before we do that, I just want to announce a couple programming notes. Now, there's been some talk here on the Pink Wheelnuts Garage about me getting a job and trying to get a job. And I did announce on the last show that I was not successful in the job that I had applied for, which would have taken me onto a different work schedule. I would be working weekdays. I shudder to think that would be horrible. So I'm quite happy to say that I didn't get that job. So our schedule for the Pink Wheelnuts Garage will remain the same. Now, however, because I didn't get the job that I had applied for, I'm involved in other projects at work. So my work schedule actually is changing somewhat. And it turns out that the next live Pink Wheelnuts Garage will not be until December the 6th. And even that one will be tentative, but I can guarantee you that we won't be on Pride 48 now for at least another month. So I'd like to thank everybody who's joined us here tonight on Pride 48. Laughing Buddha, can you go through the list and tell us who's still with us tonight?
Still with us in the chat room is Moose P. We have Scotty, the little London battler, that Peter G. and Veritable Virgo. I also want to have a special thank you for Kenner, Ken from Connecticut, and also Calvin from the Hello Waffles podcast joining us this evening in the chat room. Thanks, everyone.
Absolutely. And a thank you also to the people who joined us tonight on live on Pride 48 on the Pink Wheelnuts Garage. I'll let you go around and tell us where we can find you. We'll start at the top of the Skype list where I can see now oil for sale on my Skype 10W30, believe it or not. Not Aunt Jemima brand. That's a reference to the last show for those avid listeners. Okay, Big Fatty, where may we find you tonight?
My sensors indicate an intruder is
well, apparently no, he's got a gentleman caller now. And Poodle McNoodle would like to say goodbye as well. Well, thanks for joining us, Big Fatty.
Big Fatty at BigFattyOnline.com. Don't forget the online.
Toppy Smelly, where can we find you, sir?
You can find me at SuckAssMuffler.com. No, TheSmellCast.com. Thank you, Faye.
Absolutely. Been a joy having you on the show. RT Cruiser.
Yes, you can find me looking up cheap flights to America for 2014 and at RT Cruiser on Twitter.
And let's just say that flight you're looking for will be from September 12th to the 14th in 2014, where the Pride 48 Las Vegas will be occurring once again, either at the Luxor or the Excalibur. So,
Are you committing at this time that you are indeed going?
Yeah.
Which one?
Sorry, who are you asking?
All of you.
All right, RT, you first.
I have no trouble getting time off. It's going to be the money for me. So I'm saving my little pennies as fast as I can. I'll probably know by May next year, I think, definitely. I'm trying to stretch it out to do Halloween, so I'm looking at 8 weeks over there.
Eric and Brenda, tell us where we can find you and whether you're going to be at Pride 48 next year.
I think I'd like to try and come, but I don't know. But Brenda Boo, whatever.
Don't you disappoint me again, Brenda. Don't you disappoint me.
Maybe we should drive this year.
That's what I'm going to do, maybe. Eric, where can we find you?
Mondays through Fridays, 9 to noon Central Standard Time on KMRYradio.com.
Thank you very much. Toppy, do you think you're coming to Pride 48 next year?
Yes,
you know, I'm trying. I'm going to try to do it.
I guess I'm last. I've already booked the holidays, so I have the time off. And the only thing that will prevent me from coming to Pride 48 this year will be my husband. So I may or may not be married next year. We'll find out. And I am the Faye Driver. Thank you, everybody, for joining me here tonight on the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. You can send your car questions to podcast@pinkwheelnuts.com and check out other shows on the Pink Wheel Nuts realm at pinkwheelnuts.com. Shows like Drive Time to Nopa, for instance.
Now, just out of curiosity, was it a train wreck?
It was a very exciting show, shall we say. I think we should say.
I think we did pretty good, didn't we, Brenda?
I think so. Hell yeah.
And the man...
Hell yeah.
The man, hint, hint, the man who always has the last word.
In other words, you want me to shut the fuck up? Is that what you're saying?
That's right. I am the co-host emeritus, the Laughing Buddha, and you can find me at thescooterdiaries.net. You can also find me on Twitter as Laughing Buddha, as LaughingBuddha, and Pride 48 of 2014 is on my calendar. Good night.
Pink Wheel Nuts Garage.
You know, we are still live there, Mr. Burpee.
who's burping? What was that?
We're still on the stream, too, by the way. Brenda Boo, can you stay after class?
Sure.
You're in trouble. Okay, we're still on the stream. I'm gonna should we chat here on the stream with everybody?
Sure.
Who's left in the chat room?